Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like for you to turn with me, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter number 5. The book of Revelation, chapter number 5. We preached a series of messages, I guess, entitled John Saul. And then we looked into the churches, the seven churches of Asia, and called the messages John wrote. And tonight again, in chapter number 5, John opens with three words, "And I saw." And we're going to go into this chapter tonight and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. John said, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and forever." I want to look tonight at this chapter for just a little while. Ask God to speak to our hearts about what John saw in chapter number 5 of the book of the Revelation, as he looks at the throne and looks at the book, and as they look for someone that's worthy to open the book. I'm glad we know who he is, don't you? I'm glad we know who he is. Let's pray for a moment. Our Lord, the book of the Revelation, Lord, I don't believe will ever be fully understood on this side of heaven. Lord, there are some things that, Lord, we're bewildered by when we look into it. But I believe, Lord, that as we go through our lives, you teach us, Lord, things that you want us to know when you want us to know them. Lord, we're not afraid to look into the book of the Revelation, for Lord, you said, blessed is he that readeth, and he that keepeth the sayings that are written in this book. And I pray, Father, tonight that as we journey together through this chapter, Lord, that you'll manifest your presence, manifest your power, manifest your peace, Lord. Lord, I'm glad that I'm in that number. Lord, that we'll be singing the song of the redeemed. I'm glad, Lord, that I'll not be left on this earth when those seals are opened and the wrath of the Lamb is poured out upon this earth. Lord, as Brother Steve mentioned a while ago, Lord, in prayer requests, God, every one of us has loved ones. Lord, if you were to come tonight, our God, they would be under the wrath of the Lamb. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that, Lord, you'd continue to save to the uttermost, our Lord. Help us, our Lord, to serve you with gladness till you come. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to just touch on a few things tonight as the Lord has led my heart in Revelation chapter number 5. And I trust it'll be a blessing to you tonight. The first thing I want you to see tonight in heaven, John sees here the throne, but I want you to see a portion of the scripture. Now, we know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and we know that the word of God is forever settled in heaven, the entire book. But here, I believe, and I'll tell you why in a moment, we're dealing with a portion of scripture. Let me show you in Revelation chapter number 1 and try to set the stage for what I'm about to say. The Bible said, write the things in verse number 5, verse number 19. Write the things which thou hast seen, Revelation 1:19, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. I believe John, as he's looking into this, the vision, and God has given it to him in the Revelation in chapter number 5, is talking about the things that are going to be hereafter. We saw that begin in chapter 4 and verse number 1 when he said, come up hither. And we believe the church will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. But now there's some things that John is going to reveal to us about the tribulation hour that were still sealed up. And they're in this book. And they're looking for someone that's worthy to open the book. And this is a side of Jesus. I thought about this as I read the chapter in your presence just now again. A side of Jesus that society doesn't want to see. But honey, he's the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Yes, he is. But he's a Lamb that's going to pour out wrath on this world. The Bible uses the phrase, I'm not sure what verse it's in. It may even be in chapter number 6. I didn't underline it. I read it this afternoon where it talked about the wrath of the Lamb. Beloved, there's going to be a day of wrath coming upon this world. But tonight, I want to show you, I think it's a portion of the scripture. When he says here, a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I believe that's what's fixing to be opened in chapter number 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10. As we go through those seals on through chapter number 18 in the book of the Revelation. Turn with me to Revelation chapter number 22 for just a moment. I'm not going to be dogmatic about this. I believe it would apply either way. But I believe specifically, this is how the Lord impressed my heart as I thought about that portion of the book. I believe specifically it's talking about that portion. The Bible said in verse number 18, the Bible said in Revelation 22:18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. Now, we could take that right there and say, well, that's Genesis through Revelation. But I believe specifically he's talking about what's being unveiled here in the book of the Revelation. And then he said, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if you study the Revelation, you'll study those out. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. And so I believe there's a portion here that God is fixing to reveal. I'm not saying that you could add or you should add or take away from Genesis, because you shouldn't. It's God's word. It's not to be messed with. Amen. But I believe the specific warning is referring to what is going on here in the book of the Revelation. So I see the portion of Scripture. The second thing I see here is I see the position of the Savior. Let me say something before I go on to that. In the portion of the Scripture, listen, we need to remember something. Pastors need to remember. Teachers need to remember. All of God's people need to remember. Don't get hung up on any portion. We need to take the entire Word of God. I believe that's where a lot of cults are started, by just taking a portion of the Scripture and not comparing Scripture with Scripture. In other words, you know, we're going to, in the book of the Revelation, you're going to find things that Daniel talked about. In the book of Daniel, all the Bible coincides together and is woven together. But what we're seeing tonight is a portion. It's going to be opened in the book of the Revelation. The second thing tonight, I want you to see the position of the Savior. This blessed my heart. Look in verse number 5. One of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. I just want to say something tonight. God is a God of love, but God is also a God of wrath. He is going to open these 7 seals on purpose. And this world is going to enter into what the Bible calls the time of Jacob's trouble, or the great tribulation. And it's going to happen because that God is angry, just as he was in the days of Noah. He was angry with what was going on the face of the earth. And so, to wrap it up in a sentence or two, judgment's coming. Amen. This world is not going to escape. Listen, we've got people now. I'm not going to get off on it and ride it very far tonight, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. There's people, my friend, in political circles now that's acting like, my friend, if you speak against homosexuality, that you're speaking out of line, that we ought to just accept it now because society's accepted it now. I'm not talking about liberals. I'm talking about conservatives that are saying a mess like that. We're in a mess in our country. They keep just rubbing on it, rubbing on it, rubbing on it. But it's not going to go away with God. It might go away with society, but it'll never go away with the Scripture, with the sovereign God of the universe. Amen. It'll never go away. Oh, beloved friend, I want you to see something tonight. The position of the Savior. This blessed my heart. Watch where he is. The Bible said he's prevailed to open the book, loose the seals thereof, the 7 seals thereof. Look at verse 6. And I beheld, he's still looking, he's still seeing, God showing him. And lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts and in the midst of the elders. I like those words, in the midst. Glory to God. Somebody wrote a song years ago, in the midst of our storm. I tell you, I thank God we have a Savior that said, where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. He's in the midst here. He's in the midst in heaven. He's still in the midst, amen, of what's going on. He's the one that everything revolves around. I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne,
in the of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders. The beasts represent the living creatures, and then the elders represent the church of the living God. There stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, and which are the seven spirits. I believe that the horns represent power and authority, as I've been able to study, or God's omnipotence, and the seven eyes represent his intelligence or his omniscience, and the spirit sent forth into all the earth represent his omnipresence, amen, the Holy Spirit. You can read, and there'll be a list of things that you can believe if you want to, but I just told you what I believe and why I believe it, amen. I believe the Holy Spirit of God is sent forth into the earth to do the office work of God the Father and God the Son in drawing people to the Lord, amen. The Bible said here, he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. I wanted you to see the portion of the scripture and the position of the Savior. He's in the midst. Aren't you glad he's in the midst? I'm going to tell you something right now. Nothing will ever happen if he's not in the midst. When he shows up, business picks up. Amen. There's things that pastor knows that even the church doesn't know going on behind the scenes. And you say, preacher, what do you mean? I'm telling you, God's working in the hearts and lives of his people. Amen. God is working. And I thank God he's in the midst, the position of the Savior. I see something else here. Look at verse 8. I see when he had taken the book, and the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. I see here in heaven, in this scene, the prayers of the saints. I believe they come up, then it's a sweet-smelling savor to our God when God's people pray and when God's people trust him. I see the prayers of the saints. I know, listen, I'm not going to be real dogmatic about this, but the Bible said we brought nothing into the world, and it's certain that we're not going to take anything out. And I've always just took that at face value, and I believe it means what it means when you're talking about the things of this world. But I'm going to tell you, God's people are involved in some things right now that they're going to be involved in glory. I'm going to show you in just a minute, amen, so a couple of things at least that we can take to heaven with us, Brother Ralph. I said a couple of things I'm going to show you right here in the Bible that we can take to glory with us as the children of God, amen. The Bible talked about the prayers. I've wondered sometimes how many mothers that begged God to save their young'un left this world and never did see that prayer answered. But I tell you, the Bible said there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons who need no repentance. I just believe some way, somehow, God lets them know on the other side, amen, every time that somebody is birthed into the family of God. And the Bible talked about those prayers. I see the prayers of the saints. But I want you to see something else that I see here. I see the praises of the saints. Say, preacher, what do you mean? The Bible said, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book. Let me just say this to you just a moment. I'm not going to ride this horse very long. But what the song says is important. This world's full of that 7-11 music, seven words 11 times. Are you listening to me? That have no scriptural backing to them. Amen. But what the song says is important. It needs to be scriptural. What are they saying? They're singing. The Bible said they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Well, I'm going to tell you something, Brother Ralph. This will encourage you. It encouraged me when I saw it today. We can take our song with us. Glory, glory, glory. You say, no, you can't take that song. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms and chapter number 40. I want you to see this. Psalm chapter number 40. I know you probably already know it, but it'll bless you, I believe. It sure did me. I get to take a song with me to glory. Amen. Notice what the Bible said in Psalm chapter 40, verse number 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me. He heard my cry. You remember when he heard your cry? He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. It sounds like a pretty good song to me. Amen. The song of the redeemed. You remember when he brought you up out of the miry clay? He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Do you remember when he set your feet upon a rock and established your goings? And the word of God said, and he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. I'm going to tell you, the things of this world, no, we're not going to take them. But glory be to God, we can take a song with us from this side to the other side. It's the same Lamb. It's the same blood. It's the same redemption. Hallelujah here as it will be over there. That ought to cause us, my friend, on Sunday morning or Wednesday night, listen to me tonight, to open up and sing to the glory of God. Amen. It's not all about the tune in our mouth. It's about something coming out of our heart. There might be somebody lost standing beside of you, or standing behind you, or sitting in front of you. If they just hear you magnify him, it might make a difference in their life. Amen. I believe, listen, if it's going on over there, we ought to just get in on it over here, don't you? There's a song that we can take with us to the city of God. They sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book, open the seals, for thou wast slain. Do you know what singing is? It's worship. If it's done right, it's worship. What it's saying is, God, you're worthy. Amen. You're the one. Abraham, he took Isaac, Brother Anthony. I guarantee you, when Abraham come down, he wasn't the same as he was when he went up. Hallelujah. I tell you, I believe he was saying, God, give him my son twice. Hallelujah. Amen. Given to me in his physical birth, given to me again in a spiritual birth, there was going to be the seed. Listen to some of these verses tonight about the saints of God and about singing in 2 Chronicles 23:18. And Jehoiada appointed the officers of the house of the Lord by the hand of the priests, the Levites, whom David had distributed in the house of the Lord, to offer the burnt offerings of the Lord, as it was written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing, with singing, as it was ordained by David. Amen. I'm telling you, even when they were offering, they were singing praise to the Lord. Amen. And said he's worthy. 2 Chronicles 30:21. The children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. Listen, real singing is real worship. And real singing that's real worship, it's not singing to the choir director. It's not singing to the pastor, though we get to get in on it, Brother Ralph. But it's singing to the Lord. Amen. Sing unto the Lord a new song, the word of God said. Besides their servants in Ezra 2 and verse 65. And their maids, of whom there were 7,337, and there were among them 200 singing men and singing women. God gives you this big number, and he said, I want you to know this, 200 in the choir. They were singing praises to God. Amen. They loved the Lord. In Nehemiah 7, verse 67, besides their manservants, maidservants, of whom there were 7,337, and they had 245 singing men and singing women. Nehemiah 12:27. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and with singing and with cymbals and psaltery and harps. My mind went back, Brother John, today to something Brother Billy said down there at Sir Goinsville. He said, if I'd walk in the average church today, he said, I don't know if I'd want what they got or not. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, we ought to be excited when we're singing the praises to the Lamb. Amen. We shouldn't wait till we get over there to be excited. Listen, I'm just as saved as I ever will be saved. Amen. Listen, I know I'm going to have a new body, but thank God it's done in the mind and the heart of God. I can rejoice in that tonight. The Bible said, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. The Bible said in Psalm 126, 2, then was our mouth filled with laughter. Our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord had done great things for them. I tell you, that's what somebody ought to say when they hear us singing. God's done something for them, amen. I believe we ought to be singing at the red light. I believe we ought to be singing in the shower. I believe it ought to be against the law for some of us to sing in public. But I believe we ought to sing to the glory of God, amen. Hallelujah. Sing unto the Lord. The Bible said in Isaiah 16:10, gladness is taken away. And the joy out of the plentiful field, and in the vineyards there shall be no singing. I'm going to tell you something, neither shall there be any shouting. The treaders shall tread out no wine in their presses. It's a sad day when there's no singing. It's a sad day when there's no shouting. It's a sad day when God's people hang their heart on the willow. We'll not praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, Isaiah 44:23 said, sing, O ye heavens. For the Lord hath done it. Amen. Not going to do it. He's done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains. O forests and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Go ye forth, Isaiah 48:20, out of Babylon. Flee ye from the Chaldeans with the voice of singing, declare ye. Tell this, utter it even unto the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. I don't know about you tonight, but it looks to me like God likes singing. Isaiah 55, verse 12. This is talking about that time, beloved, when God sets up the millennial kingdom. He said, you shall go out with joy. You shall be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. You say, preacher, that's got to be some kind of figure of speech. It is. It's English, and I believe it. I believe God, my friend, one day is going to let the trees clap their hands and say, glory. I believe the mountains will sing, and I believe you and I ought to have the attitude, ain't going to rock. No rock going to do my praising. Amen. I'm going to sing unto the Lord and praise His holy name. The Bible said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. I'll tell you something right now. That blesses my heart to think, listen, He's not asked us to do something that He won't do Himself. We ought to sing. Sing that new song. Colossians 3:16. Now move on. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalm and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. I'll tell you something right now. Somebody told Brother Danny Sykes years ago, said, you can't build a church on singing. Brother Danny looked at him and said, no, it sure is hard to build one without it. You know what I believe? I believe God wants us to sing. I believe if we'd sing, we're standing there, or sitting there, or standing here, and it'd all be unto Him. Honey, God will turn this place upside down. Are you listening to me tonight? I tell you what, there's some things I know I'm not even interested in taking to heaven. But He put a new song in my heart. And honey, it's going with me. It'll still be about the Savior. It'll still be about the blood. It'll still be about redemption. Amen. I'm still, oh, listen, won't it be wonderful there? Yes! But Hallelujah, it's wonderful here to be saved, to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We see a portion of Scripture, the position of the Savior. We see the prayers of the saints. We see the praises of the saints. There's a song about the Savior, Thou art worthy. There's a song about the Scripture, to take the book. And then there's a song about salvation. You've redeemed us to God by your own precious blood. I say hallelujah tonight. What a Savior. What a Savior. You say, preacher, let me just say this tonight. I'm guilty of listening too much to talk radio. Is there anybody here guilty of that besides me? I'm guilty. But I tell you, when my heart really gets stirred up is when I'm listening to a song or when I'm listening to a message about Jesus. I always try my best to get Brother Brian plugged in. I'm going to tell you something right now. That young man gets you stirred up if you'll listen to him. Amen. He'll get in that book and get you stirred up. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, I believe we in these days need to concentrate more on him and less on the news and less on politics. And just get ready, Brother Steve, so it won't be foreign when we step off over there singing. It'll be, hey, that's what we've been doing all along. Amen. Singing praises to the Lamb. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. The unsaved will hear it. The unsaved will be touched by it. And I believe that's important tonight. And I want you to give you this, and I'm done tonight. The position of the saints. That's how I want to close this out tonight. We've looked at a portion of the Scripture, the position of the Savior, the prayers of the saints, the praises of the saints. I want you to look at the position of the saints here in this chapter. Look at verse number 14, would you please? By the way, if you come on down there in verse 12, they're saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb. Every once in a while, even now, every once in a while, something will be said. Every once in a while, pastor will just back up in a corner. Say, why do you have to be so loud? I'm not trying to be loud. But I tell you what, I've been this way ever since I've been saved. And I did read in the Bible where God told, was it Isaiah or Jeremiah, Brother Rose, cry aloud? Was it Isaiah? You know, was it Jeremiah, Brother Steve? One of them, I knew it, thank you. He told Jeremiah, he said, cry aloud. He said, spare not. He said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Now, I'll tell you something right now. I'm not against somebody teaching the Word of God or somebody that preaches in a more mellow tone. I'm just going to be who God made me. When I step off over there, according to what I just read, there are going to be some folk with a loud voice hollering, worthy is the Lamb. Amen. I don't see nothing wrong with it. Amen. Don't see a thing wrong with it. I want you to notice the position of the saints. I believe we ought to practice in our praise. But I believe, Brother Wayne, we ought to practice this position. That way it won't be foreign to us when we get over there. Notice in verse number 14, the Bible said, and the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. I believe we ought to just notice that position. There ought to be something inside of every one of us. Brother Steve mentioned a while ago, there are times when physical ailments enter in. There was a time in my life not too many years ago when I couldn't even get out of the bed. I was laying in a back brace with my back broken. But I'm glad, Brother Rose, you can lay there looking up at the living room ceiling. It wasn't the position of my knee. It was the position of my heart. But I believe if we're able, we ought to position ourselves at the feet of Jesus. Amen. We ought to bow at his feet. The Bible's telling us some things here. Look also at verse number 8. If you go back to verse number 8, the Bible said when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. John said in chapter number 1, Brother Earl, he said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe we ought to get familiar with his feet. I believe we'll be wanting to spend some time there when we get to glory. Amen. Yeah. Let me give you a couple of verses of scripture quickly. We'll be done. Matthew 2, verse number 11. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. This really struck me when I saw it today. When Jesus first got here, Brother Rose, there was some, it was already in their heart to fall down. The Bible said here, and when they come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. They fell down. When Jesus was just a young child, they fell down. Mark chapter 5, but the woman fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her. This is that woman with the issue of blood. The word of God said she fell down. She came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. She told him. He didn't need to be told, but she wanted to tell him. In chapter number 8 of Luke, verse 41, this is where Brother Joe preached last Tuesday night. Behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet. You say, preacher, why did he fall down? His daughter was at the point of death. Amen. We shouldn't wait for an emergency to fall down, but certainly if there is an emergency, we ought to fall down at his feet. Luke 17, verse number 16. Remember when the Samaritan, he's the only one that returned. And he gave glory to God. In Luke 17, verse 16, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. By the way, there's a truth painted in those verses right there. At least I'm going to tell you this, what I believe. I believe the Bible makes note, and he was a Samaritan for a reason. I believe the others felt like they had it coming to them. I believe the others were probably Jews. I can't prove that, but they felt like they were owed that. Can I tell you what's wrong with our country? There's too many people that think they're owed something. You and I know what we deserve, don't we? We deserve to fry in hell. That's exactly what we deserve. But God, in his great love, wherewith he loved us, ought to fall at his feet. Then in John 11, 32, Brother Joe brought this out, and I never had seen this truth before. Mary, when she came where Jesus was, she saw him. She fell down at his feet. She said the same thing her sister said. Lord, if you had been here, my brother Lazarus had not died. She said the same thing, but in a different position. I say, God help us. I think it's the Marines or the Army. I don't know if I've seen this on TV. You can't believe everything you see on TV. But I've seen a drill instructor tell somebody to assume the position. That means, is that right, Brother Ralph? That means get ready to do some push-ups, buddy. It's a form of punishment, amen. You know what I believe God wants us to do in these last days? Assume the position at his feet. Come to him, realizing how weak we are, realizing how little to nothing we can do without him. realizing how much trouble our country's in, our school system is in, our world is in, and say, God, we can't, but you can. We can't, but you can. They've been running an ad on the radio. I've not researched it, but according to the ad, somebody in Hawkins County has ripped the county off. And according to the ad, they're running it over and over and over. They're looking at a huge deficit now. Do you know what I believe? I believe it doesn't matter which county you go into. There's good men and there's crooked men. It doesn't matter what party you're affiliated with. There are good folk and there's crooked folk. I thought about this. Listen, I'm not going to say much about this, but somebody said the other day on one of them their ads, they said, this is not my grandfather's Democratic Party. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. It ain't my grandfather's Republican Party either. I ain't never heard nobody say that. I just thought I'd say that. We've come a long way, baby, in the wrong direction. The wrong direction. Let's fall at his feet. Have you enjoyed Revelation chapter 5? I didn't get it all, but I just give you what he gave me. Just a little word of encouragement, amen. John said, and I saw. God said he'd bless us if we'd read it. He'd bless it if we'd keep it. We'd realize we're living on the threshold. Something good's about to happen for the child of God. And something bad's about to happen to this whole world that we live in. We shouldn't gloat in that. But what we should do is do all we can to take somebody with us. Come, go with us to the city of God. Father, tonight we thank you for your mercy and your love that you've extended towards us. Lord, I am so glad when you begin to open those seals that you've not appointed us under wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad, our Father, that we'll be at home when you pour out those seals upon the earth. Lord, I just pray tonight you'd help us to be mindful of your coming. Help us to be mindful of our purpose, Lord, here in the world. Help us to be a light. Help us to be salt. Help us, our Father. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name.